Hello?
Hello, Alan?
Yep.
Hi, Alan. It's Aaron calling you from INS Law. How are you?
Yeah, I'm about I get about 10 now in my head, so I feel I've seen people I get you, but I've got a different network now.
Ah, that's okay. Fair enough. Thank you for getting back in touch with ourselves. Is now a good time to talk to you?
Yeah.
Perfect. So, so the purpose of this call, Alan, is basically obviously we've received an inquiry in regards to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to expand on your application, get to know bits about you, and see if you're eligible or whether we're eligible to represent you as a law firm within the scheme.
Yeah.
Okay. So I go also through your care settings with you and find out about your experiences during your time in care.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got your first name here as Alan, surname Knox. Have you got any middle names, Alan?
No, I haven't, no.
No, okay. And I've got your email address here as alanknox125@gmail.com.
That's right, yep.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please, Alan?
It's 28/9/78.
Perfect, okay. And what's your current home address, please?
31 Rosalie Gardens, Ladybank.
Perfect. Okay, I've got that one here. Okay, let's input that into my computer. Okay, perfect. And the communication preferences with yourself, Alan, are we okay to send you emails and texts as well as phone calls?
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yep, okay, perfect. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of at all?
Disfigured left hand and the glass right as well.
Okay, that's not the problem. I'll make a note of that. Okay, and is there a beneficiary that you'd like to add to the application at all?
My mum.
Yep, okay. What's your mum's name, please?
It's Margaret Kidd.
Surname was a Kidd, did you say?
Yeah.
K-I-D-D?
That's correct, sorry.
Okay, and what's Margaret's date of birth, please?
You're asking. the 4th of December, 1959.
Okay. And what's the telephone number for Margaret, please?
If you give me a second, I'll just about.
Yeah, no worries. Take your time.
That's 07411.
074, was that 111?
Double one,
yep.
144. 144,
yep.
395.
395. So that's 074 11 144 395.
That's right, yeah.
Perfect. And what's Margaret's home address, please?
It's 2A Hardwick Terrace.
Could you potentially spell that one for me?
T-A-R-V-I-T Terrace.
Is that in Springfield?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, perfect. Perfect. Okay. Excuse me. Daniel. Yeah, thank you very much for sharing them details with myself. So I do understand that discussing experiences connected to the application can be difficult and upsetting. But yeah, please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during the call, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and is there any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
What was that, sorry, Al?
No, sorry.
No, okay, that's not a problem. Okay, so as briefly explained, the purpose of today's call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme, alongside how INS law firm works for yourself, and also discussing the funding and fees that are applicable to ourselves. What was that, sorry?
No, just at my pals.
sorry. And then, yeah, gather initial information to assess whether we'll be able to assist you.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct ourselves.
Yeah.
But basically, the Scottish Redress Scheme, what that is basically they offer support and awards to survivors within the scheme prior to the first of being in care in Scotland before the 1st of December 2004. My apologies. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. Option one is that you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they're paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with the application. Under the government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with the application, regardless of whether you win or lose your application. But INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us being option three, you will be choosing a private legal representation under the conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. I do just want to clarify, Alan, do you have any other representation in regards to an inquiry or application within the scheme?
No.
No, okay, perfect. Well, being option three ourselves, Alan, we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time and effort spent within your case, and also a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%. Okay, so it is important that I make it clear that we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of the award that the scheme may award you. The Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call. But if instructed as your law firm to represent you, what we can assist is whether you're eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme. What we'll do is we'll gather and review all evidence provided today. And then we'll prepare and submit your application to the Scottish Redress Scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf. We have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme, so we'll also advise you of further down the line in the process of any offers made from the Redress Scheme. And once an offer is made and the award is accepted from yourself, there will be a status sheet waiver to sign if an offer is awarded. But if also, we can also offer assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. The statutory waiver that I've just briefly mentioned, what that is once you have accepted an award from the redress scheme, you can't then go and take out any civil claims relating to the matters of what's being addressed within the scheme. Okay, so does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sorry, no.
Yep, okay, perfect. You'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. Okay, but if you also do decide to go with ourselves, you do have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreement, so you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge, but you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst cancellation rights still remain. So if that was the case, Alan, and you do decide to go with ourselves, would you like us to start work immediately?
Yeah.
Yep, okay, perfect. What we will need from yourself, Alan, as well, is we'll need proof of identification and proof of address. That's to identify who you are and also to comply with anti-money laundering regulations.
Yeah.
So that'll just be either, you know, a driver's license, passport, birth certificate,
I've got a passport, but it's at my bond.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, at any point, obviously as soon as possible, you can just get that over to ourselves. It doesn't exactly have to be today. Yeah. And then obviously, a proof of address as well, dated within the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through your care settings with you. But before I do, have you applied for an advance payment to the Scottish Redress Scheme at all?
No.
No, okay. And were you known by any other names during your time in care?
No.
Okay, have you changed your name legally by depol or marriage?
No.
No, okay. And can you remember the address you lived in prior to being placed in care?
Yeah. It was 36 Kinloss Park, Cooper.
Kinloss Park, perfect. That was Kinloss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that. Perfect. Okay, and am I able to grab the names of your mother and father, please? Obviously, I've already got your mum's name, actually.
Margaret.
And what was the name of your father, please?
George Knox.
John, was that?
George.
George.
Knox.
Perfect. And where are you registered with your GP, please?
Ladybank. Sorry.
Is that Ladybank Medical Centre?
Yep.
Is that on Commercial Road?
That's right, yeah.
Yep, okay. Perfect, okay. Okay, Alan, so where was the, what was the name of the first care setting that you was in?
It was Ovenston.
Ovenston?
Ovenston, yeah. Ovenston Residential School.
Okay, let's have a look. That in Pitt and Weem.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, got that. Okay, and what year was you placed there?
3, so I think what age you are when you're in primary 3, about 10 or something, so possibly 1988. I was there for 2 years.
So 1988.
Yep.
1988 to 1990. Okay, and then was you placed in any other care settings?
No,
so it's just Ovenston. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Alan. So talk me through your time at Ovenston. What was that like for you? Hello, Alan, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry. Talk me through your time at Ovenston. What was that like for you?
To start with, it wasn't too bad, but as I was going through it, probably within the first 6 months, physical and mental abuse.
Okay. So when you were placed in this care setting, you're saying you was around 10 years old?
Yeah, it was a bit that. I was in primary 3 years.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was first around 10 years old. At first, bad. Okay, so you said at first it wasn't all that bad. When did it start to go different for you? As you said, it was a couple of months in.
Yeah.
So you said you started to suffer from physical and mental abuse?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk me through the physical abuse side of things. What is it that unfortunately happened to you?
You got a hit with a brown leather belt that was kept in the top drawer, and you get hit with the buckle on it. That happened a few times, so after that, you got threatened with it, so.
And why is it that you'd get hit with the leather belt?
Just if you'd never done something, if you were burning on time to a class, or if you were doing it, misbehaving or that. Well, after it happened the first sort of 2 or 3 times, you know, or you could, then you threatening it, but you obviously didn't want it again, so
yeah.
You started against us. Eh?
Yeah, so you said it happened when you was misbehaving, and what, sorry?
Just if you wasn't on time, to where you were meant to be, or really just slight misbehaving.
Yeah. Okay. And besides the leather belt, did the teachers, you know, did they restrain you in any way that was unlawful, anything like that?
No, it would make you lean on the table and go for the belt at the top of the door. And like I say, that's for the first few times you got hit with it, kind of threatening with it. Was enough, but then obviously at that age, they were there because you didn't behave very much, so
yeah.
That was up to that time I was there, that was the youngest there.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So when you'd get hit with the belt and you know, especially the buckle as well, I can only imagine that, you know, that would cause you a great deal of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then would you have to, you know, if you was to get this punishment, would you have to deal with this pain for the rest of the day then, potentially?
Yeah, after that, you would get restricted to the dormitory. You wouldn't be allowed to take place in any of the activities and stuff.
Yeah.
to the problems of my anger and that. When I was that age, hearing about the first thought of anyone said anything about it, I just hit them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was just, obviously, everyone was there, let's say, that everybody was were there because they were a kid at the school for not behaving and that. Like the reason I got sent there the first time, somebody had said something about my hand. There was a bit with some tees that we played in at the school, and the guy that said it was walking underneath me, so I jumped on him at the tee, broke his arm, and then so after that, the headmaster put my table and chair outside the office, and I was meant to sit there myself, but I decided it was my dinner to the table and the chair and whatever.
Yeah.
But at Winston was the only school they could find it was allowed to take me.
Yeah, okay. You also mentioned about the mental abuse as well. What is it that you endured to suffer, you know, the mental abuse?
Getting threatened all the time, or for like we shop at the end of the week, we collected tokens and stuff, kind of you behaved or you misbehaved, kind of like local day, like a star chart or that. So they would threaten you to come with a bell and threaten you when you're getting to take place in activities or take tokens off you. And when my mum tried to phone me and that, it would make like my speech term stuff out. After, like I said, getting hit with the belt first three times, then getting threatened with it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
I believe the school's closed down now due to abuse.
What was that, sorry?
I was saying the school is closed down now because of abuse that went on.
Oh, really? Wow. So, yeah, it just goes to show there's proof behind the pudding, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you look up and stand up, so you'll see it, what it was all about, it.
Yeah.
See, I was the youngest there, so I just kind of followed everyone else. So I was doing what they were doing. And you didn't even cover the quarter questions at the time, right? Kind of like we got home at weekends, they would also get threatened with not being allowed to go home at the weekend stuff and getting kept there on your own.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was kind of wild back then, so.
I was also threatened with. I was also threatened with not being able to come and see my family. Excuse me. Okay. So based on what you've told me, Alan, obviously I've written up a little bit of a statement in regards to obviously your time there. I've covered you've suffered physical and mental abuse. You know, for example, the leather belt and being hit with the buckle as well. For misbehaving or being late to school. With the pain that, you know, you was caused, that, you know, it caused some, you know, distress to yourself in ways that, you know, you had to deal with the pain for the rest of the day. You'd also miss out on doing the activities if you was punished.
Yeah.
Obviously, when coming to the mental abuse side of things, yeah, you know, your emotions and feelings were played with. You were threatened and blackmailed by teachers and the headmaster, if I've got that right. that, that, you know, obviously you'd get your tokens away, tokens taken away from you, which obviously, as you said, on a Friday, that, you know, that was kind of like your treat day. And then obviously, yeah, you was also threatened with not being able to go home and see your family. So I have just noted that, obviously, yeah, I was also threatened with not being able to go home and see my family, which that being toyed with, that being toyed with, affected me mentally and demotivated me in so many ways. Obviously, yeah, my job is to try and put myself in you know, your 10-year-old self's shoes on how that would make you feel. Is there anything else that you'd like to add at all?
Not that I can think of at the moment. No.
Okay. What will happen during this process as well, Alan, is my colleagues who I work with, they're just in the different departments, but we're all in the same office. They're the ones who, in the background, they'll gather all your records and whatnot on your behalf. But they're also the guys that'll give you a call further down the line, and they'll get a more in-depth witness statement from yourself. So they'll just expand on what I've written already. They'll ask you, you know, further questions that they're more knowledgeable in, and just build a complete picture of yourself. So anything that does come to mind, or you wish to expand on anything like that, they'll, you know, you'll be able to you know, give a potential, you know, expansive story to them once they give you a call down the line. Okay, so I'm just going to have a look over and see anything else that I need from yourself. Have you gone through any criminal injuries, compensation, or civil court claims in regards to the abuse or anything like that?
No.
That suffered? No. Okay. And do you have any criminal convictions in regard? Okay. Have you spent 5 or more years in prison for any of your convictions?
No.
Okay. That's not a problem. The reason why I asked that is obviously because if it was murder, attempted murder, rape, sexual assault, yeah, anything like that, obviously the scheme take that into consideration.
Yeah,
I understand that, and you know what, it's quite common to happen and to have as well. So yeah, I don't need to obviously exactly make a note. Okay, so based on what you've told me, Alan, what I'd like to do for yourself is I would like to go down a valuable route for yourself. The two routes that we can go down is there's two payments when it comes to the Scottish Redress Scheme. You've got a fixed payment of £10,000. That's basically a fixed award regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. So the scheme just clarified that, yep, you was in care and then award you the £10,000. But there is an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed independent panel. And what they'll do is they'll look on the level of abuse that you've suffered, the evidence that we present. They'll look at your statements and your story, and they'll award you based on the level of abuse that you've suffered. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment with yourself of up to £100,000, okay?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I do feel like you are more than applicable to £10,000. I can't exactly advise you what level of abuse. That's solely the panel's decision. But obviously, yeah, from my experience and what you've told me today, it is more than the £10,000. So we'll go down that route, and basically what the next stage is now is I'm gonna with that statement that I've just written up for yourself, that goes as part of your application in order to obtain a application number on your behalf. So we'll send this off to the Scottish Redress Scheme once you've signed off forms and send them back to ourselves. So the document I'm going to send out to you is a client care letter, and that's just basically like a hi and welcome, this is what we do. There's also a conditional fee agreement, which is just basically, as explained, our percentages, which is 16% plus VAT. So that'll break that down for you, and so you can see that for kind of view itself. And then we'll also send you out as well a letter of authority, which just basically gives us the right to act on your behalf, obtain records, speak to local authorities on your behalf and whatnot. So that just gives us the right to do that for you. And then also, yeah, a part one and a part two to your application. So what I'll do is I'll send that out via email within the next 5-10 minutes. If you do potentially get that back to yourself today, I can send off your application before 5 o'clock, and we are then be in the process of obtaining your application number. If you do need any assistance with it in itself, then you're more than welcome to give me a call back and I can talk you through that. That's no problem at all. And do you use WhatsApp at all?
Yeah, I do, right.
Yep, okay. Yeah, whenever you do have your, I think it was passport that you mentioned your mum's house, you can send us an image on WhatsApp and I can upload that straight to your case file. Same way with your proof of address as well. You can find that number on the on our WhatsApp and I'll get that uploaded to you. But yeah, with the forms, it's pretty quite self-explanatory. At the bottom, it's got a yellow box and that tells you how many fields are required to sign. Once you click that, well, if you do click that yellow box, it'll take you straight to the box that needs signing. You click on the signature box, you scribble your signature, and then you click apply. Once that's done, you can then click the yellow box again, and it'll take you to the next signature box, and so forth. It's just a method like that. Next to that yellow box, there's a little tick box that just says that you, the signature that you're putting on these documents is legally binding. So it just says that basically it's
all legit. You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Hello, Alan, you there?
Sorry, I think I put you on hold there.
Yeah, you did. It's okay, don't worry. So that little tick box, that just approves that obviously the signature that you're using is legally binding. And then that yellow box will tell you how many fields are required. Get that down to zero, tick the little tick box, and then you can submit that application, and it then comes straight back to myself. Okay. As I said, if you need any assistance with it, just give me a call back and I can talk you through it, no problem. But yeah, as I said, if you fire that back over to Michelle potentially today, I can get your application sent straight off. Okay.
Yep.
Any questions for me at all?
No, at the moment, no.
Okay, not a problem. Well, I am only either a message away on WhatsApp or a phone call away. So if you do need anything, give me a call and I'll be here to help you and assist you, no problem.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Alan, thank you very much for your time and sharing your experiences with me. I do appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy your afternoon.
Yeah, you as well.
No worries. Thank you very much, Alan.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
See you soon now.
Bye.